Welcome to Crippled System. This is episode 7. I am Katie. I don't remember my forum name.
Bad horse.
Bad horse. And I play circle.
Are you sure? Because you don't know your own name.
I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums, and I play Retribution and Legion.
This is Andy, a Major Tusk on the forums. I play Trollbloods.
This is Brian, Carnage for You on the forums, and I play Crix.
Wait.
Brianage?
Brianage.
That was last week.
Okay, you're changing it up.
You've evolved.
And this is Nathan. I play Mercenaries, and Brian is touching my mic.
And also your name is Radio Fan on the forums?
It is.
Yeah.
And touching my mic may or may not have been a euphemism. Decide as you see fit to most likely enjoy the imagery.
Oh, jeez.
I enjoy the imagery.
You can see it for real. You don't need the imagery. You're right here.
You have the camera.
Yeah.
All right. Touching Are we still doing...
And that's a podcast. Anything? Thanks for coming.
we're so sorry.
No, well, it was fine
a long
until
time
you...
this time.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, the first thing on it was our trip, right?
You just took my agenda.
I did.
And you're holding the agenda and getting it wrong. Like,
well,
did you forget how to read in the Caribbean?
Because we had something else planned, and then we discussed our trip.
Yeah, I didn't write it on the agenda.
Okay, then we're discussing why
I
play circle.
No, I'm going to write it on the agenda now.
I don't see a pen.
I'll write it later. It's right here. Why don't you, Katie, tell us a little more about you and your decision and lifestyle choices when it comes to circle vis-a-vis hordes?
Or just your lifestyle choices. You know, whatever.
I would think you would know.
I suppose that's true.
No,
suppose?
My...
He's not allowed to watch.
I'm allowed to watch. Only watch.
Then you would still know.
That is true. He's watching. He's like, I don't understand this.
We'll get him a map.
He's taking notes. He's like trying to figure it out. It's like a mystery. There's a montage of him with, like, test tubes and beakers and, like, researching stuff, and he's got the mortarboard on.
That's where it goes.
Wow.
Just looking at a poster of Carmen Electra the whole time. With, like, a confused look on his face, and then back to the beakers.
Tapping the pencil on the lips, thinking, Oh, scissoring.
That involves scissors, right?
It does involve scissors, yes.
Yes.
The Scissor Sisters, a great techno band from the 80s.
Anywho,
yes,
I had a husband who played War Machine, and he was always doing it and talking about it, and, oh, it's so great, and then he'd go to Denny's afterwards, and, oh, it was so much fun tonight, and the guy said this, and they're talking about inappropriate words, and they got in trouble, and it was great.
And that was such bull crap when that happened. Oh, my God.
But it did happen, nonetheless.
It did happen.
So I was like, all right. And then he came home from a tournament, and he had this poster of hordes. And it was, he wanted to hang it on the wall.
I did. That's what you do with posters, as it turns out.
We had a discussion about what goes on the wall and what does not go on the wall. But it had a griffin on it, which... As it turns out, Circle didn't have griffins yet, and I was like, well, the griffin's kind of neat, but still can't go on the wall. And he was like, well, you should give it a shot. And so I picked Circle because they had a griffin, and they did not, in fact, have griffins. But that's why I picked them.
Ignorance is bliss, because the griffin is not kind of neat.
Like, kind of neat looking.
Are you sad now that you know how the game plays, and you can look at the griffin's card and go, oh.
Well, but I painted him. He's one of my few that I painted models as opposed to somebody else painted him. And so I think he's really cool because he looks really nice. Yeah. He did a nice job.
He has blood on the claws.
Pat on my own back. Good job.
Good job, you.
But no, as I've learned to play him, I really enjoy their play style. They're more of a shenanigan-y than like Kador, who's just like, I'm coming towards you slowly. Stop playing with the wire, Brian. That's what he's saying to do.
I like The Wire. That's a cool show.
I've never seen it.
I actually haven't seen it either. It's just the cool kids talk about it.
That is true, they do.
So anyway,
Omar's coming for you.
That's my story of Circle. It's not that interesting.
Omar's
was pretty interesting.
Well, you're
to be fair, she obligated tried to playing, say it's interesting.
Now, when she first started playing, she both liked the look of Legion and Circle when I explained Hordes to her. And so she tried games with both. And with Legion, she beat my Rhett a little bit. And with Circle, she beat the crap out of my Rhett. And I think that probably also had some influence in that she thought Circle was actually a more powerful faction than Legion.
Maybe it's because I played better with their playstyle, and that's
also
why
possible.
Why I
but either you. Way, like we played three games with Circle, and she shellacked me three times in a row, and I was like, I'm bad at the game.
And the first time she came down to play, I'm like, oh, great, some guy brought his wife. This is going to end well for
everybody. Everybody gave me this look like, what the hell are you doing, Jeremy?
we've been here before. It's going to end in tears.
I haven't met very many other girl players.
Yeah, exactly.
Yup.
They're like, what is wrong with all of you?
I hear Lewis's wife's going to play, though.
Yeah, right.
No. Oh, yeah, Jenny, who's playing for a little bit there.
She paints more than she plays, though.
She used to play a decent chunk. She just hasn't been down recently. I don't know if she's busy on Wednesdays.
I think
it's
a combination of
joblessness.
Joblessness and playing video games and just... I think she does a lot of other things.
Yeah,
but she is definitely a gamer person. She's just doing a lot of other stuff.
Well, doesn't she like LARP and stuff?
Yeah, she's a LARPer. Yeah. I tried to bring that up.
Well, she is. I'm just saying.
Ah, LARP. It sounds like a disease, and it should sound
James
like a disease.
James at Pegasus LARPs too, Emily. He's like, you should see a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, they have treatment for that.
They have
that's,
a cream.
That's
role-playing,
right?
It's live-action role-playing.
I like
you run around the
you
run around the woods, and you sometimes you carry like a beanbag, and you throw it at somebody. You say, like, magic missile, and you throw the beanbag at him. And you go, aha, gotcha.
And you carry like a fake sword.
My friend Kristen and I... Kristen, who's dating Jim.
Hold on. If you're going to talk about you and a girlfriend who like doing role play, I am all goddamn ears.
No, we ran into some LARPers one day, and we sat and ate
ran him over?
You see, you just ran him over with your truck.
No, we were walking on campus.
Force field!
LARPers, get him!
It's a very cloak!
It is ineffective.
So you were in Kmart, and these LARPers were confused and lost, hunting their dragon, and they...
No, they're like on the quad of our campus. They had the whole quad to themselves, going at each other with like swords and whatnot. It was very entertaining to watch.
If they were just wailing on each other with swords and stuff, it could have been more like the SCA, or, you know, there's other less nerdy, like, historical reenactment groups that, like, just
I'm
do the
guessing.
Battling. They don't pretend that they're gnomes and goblins and stuff.
I'm guessing it
which
was
is LARPing. That stuff's kind of cool. I think that stuff is pretty neat.
Yeah, like, just beating each other with wicker rods that have foam wrapped around
them
is
I'm all
a lot
for
cooler
that.
Than pretending
got,
you're a, you know.
I got some of that equipment.
Yeah. I had a friend that was he used
it's
to do
violent.
PVC
I'm pro-violence.
Yeah.
All your weapons had to be built out of PVC pipe. That's cool.
That's my stance there.
So your foam-covered swords are just... Swords.
He has like one layer of scotch tape on him. It's like that couch. They're covered.
I will say that Officer. One movie. I can't think of the movie with the LARPing is funny.
Oh, it's Role
Role Models. Has a great LARPing.
Well, but again, see, that's more just like SCA kind of thing. I mean, I guess the SCA is less nerdy to me because at least you're just pretending to be people, and it's like a different time period. You aren't pretending to be wizards.
You can't just hit me.
He apparently can just hit you. What are you going to do? He's the man with the foam sword. You got dick all.
That
doesn't
really sting, but it's...
And there's that movie.
Welcome back to America. We're going to beat you senseless with a rod. I also I support Ring Game. Ring Game's super awesome, and they have it here twice a year.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you told us about
it's
that.
It's basically like a several hundred people game of Capture the Flag with Lord of the Rings themed like rules and stuff.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's super awesome.
I'm really bad at Capture the Flag.
That's all right. You can just be an orc or something and just wander around.
Okay.
So, yeah, you don't have to try super hard.
So we somehow went from the first time Katie came out of the game started that. That's a pretty good
off
tangent there.
Well,
to
we were on gaming still. That's
I know.
Topical.
We're,
right,
so we're
did
on
you
a path.
The rest of your story, or just
well,
did you like
I was
the
saying,
intro?
So she comes. She comes in. You bring her in. She's playing. I remember I played. I did good. I managed to lose my first game against her. But I'm like, what do you like? Right. She's kind of. Know what she's doing. It was weird because was figuring things out. I was like, I don't know if I can. It was awkward.
Sometimes it's hard to lose your first game against a new person. Like, you try your damnedest. You're like, oh, I dropped all my focus and ran up and turned around, and you have Karchev, and you're 3 inches away, and then they don't kill you. And you're like, fuck, how do I throw this game? I've run out of ways to lose.
Are you're only rolling, like, you like an 18 to hit, you roll two dice, you roll boxcars.
Yeah.
And you're like, dice minus five, you roll boxcars again. You're like, ah!
Yeah.
Well, thank you for throwing your game. I appreciated it.
You're welcome. But yeah,
I don't think Jeremy threw his games.
No, I probably
Jeremy
not.
Doesn't have to throw games.
You know what? I beat the crap out of her the first time I played her at a tournament. All right,
like she defeated you in the game, and then you just beat the crap out of her,
no,
out of rage.
No, that's because I couldn't roll above a five, and you were like Whoa, yeah. 11, 10, 12.
My dice were amazing.
Wait, Jeremy never uses those words.
Yeah.
And Jeremy doesn't win a tournament game. Oh, so I don't. This story is very suspect. So,
yeah. We were in the loser's bracket.
So I got a bye the first round. It was Mangled Metal and I was playing Rhett. So first of all, not a strong showing. Oh, no, Highlander, which is slightly better, but not really for Rhett.
Highlander Rhett seems awesome.
No, not really.
You just bring Mage Hunter Strike Force and some stuff and things.
Mage Hunter Assassin. And
we were playing 35-point Highlander.
And okay. Insert caster here.
So Mage Hunter Strike Force.
You could only bring one unit.
Yeah, Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Mage Hunter Strike Force is a unit. You
and Ossian. And then there's Jax all day, and you just foam at the mouth and win.
The problem is you can't kill enough with that list. And if you play Horde, you lose. So So what I decided to bring was Vyros and the Heavy Rifle Team for a unit and Jax and just go for it. And I got a bye the first round, which put me in the winner's bracket. So then I played against Jim's Merklist, which just destroyed me to the model. And then I played Katie in round three, and she had, I don't know, like two turns of Chromac attacking Vyros and did like five damage. And so eventually Vyros was like, fine. And he flanked her and just killed the crap out of her.
Learn to roll, noob.
Yeah. I know. It was my problem.
It was pretty bad.
I didn't know you had to take lessons. Should I set my dice on fire?
Every once in a while, you just have to make an example of one of them.
I mean, that works for you because you roll so well now.
Hey, this is a new set of dice. That set of dice was badly. Fine until... Well, it worked a lot better after that one of them. He deserved it.
Yeah, he did.
My other favorite thing lately with Kate... We play a lot of board games, and Katie's always about to do something. And Jeremy's like, well, actually, you can do it like this. And that's exactly what Katie just did. She's like, she does, you know, something. And then Jeremy's trying to correct her to do what she just did. She's like, yeah, I just did that.
Yeah.
I only do that once a weekend.
You do that,
on
like,
average.
Once, twice a game. She's always done the right thing. You're like, well, you know, you always like, it's just hilarious. So you're like.
Well, you just like to be supportive.
Thank you, babe. I appreciate it.
We'll call
it supportive.
It.
Yes, let's call it that.
All right.
Well, you are a woman, and thus you can't actually play board games.
Right. Well, what's happening is. He's slipping me notes under the table that you guys don't see. Oh. And then he's like, oh, maybe she can't read. And so he has to tell me out loud.
If you're taking advice from Jeremy, but you're doing well, I'm like, this doesn't add up.
See, this just supports my theory that it's all the dice. I'm a good player. I don't know.
We beat you in Dune or Rex, and there was no dice there.
That's true.
Although I did.
You don't do very well in Game of Thrones either.
I won my first game of Game of Thrones.
Not any of the ones I was involved in.
The ones where I keep getting paired up against. Both people are like, the only two people at the table attacking anyone attack me. Yes, that's bad for me, as it turns out. Generally speaking.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be you.
Or Baratheon.
If you weren't you, we wouldn't attack you as much.
Or Lannister. Hey, playing them
is a great
way to get
it was not
raped.
Just, hey, let's butt rape Lannister. It was, I had a consolidated power order, and you had a raid, and I'm like, Jeremy, if you raid my consolidated power, I'm considering that an act of regression. Keep that in mind. We're being diplomatic here. Just don't raid that. It's a sign of good faith. And you're like, no, I'm raiding it. I'm like, I'm considering that an act of war. You said, well, raiding it. So I just annihilated the fuck out of you. And that was your lesson for the day, was don't raid my consolidated power orders.
And then Jim won.
No, I won that game.
Oh, that was the game
that,
you
won. Yeah, that was
because Mo was like, I'm going to also kick Jeremy while he's down.
I lost the first one because Keith just gave a territory to Jim. I was like, here you go, Jim. And if he hadn't have done that, like if he hadn't have vacated that territory, I would have been 3-0 in our last three games.
It's true.
I'm not actually that good at that game, so I would have been very excited about that.
Well, to be fair, you've been sitting next to a noob. Two of those three games you sat next to.
What really was, I've been taking that game and turning it into a game of diplomacy.
Yes.
I've been making it such a metagame experience.
And that's why I'd be next to the noob, man. Because if you were next to me, like, how about this? I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm doing what I'm doing. Keep using your words. It's irrelevant to
me. But when you sit next to a new player, you can make that game.
Well, but see, here's the thing. The game with Keith, he just kept attacking me, which didn't make any sense because he was.
You're saying Keith kept attacking you, not me.
Yeah, not you. Not Nathan.
Because you attacked me.
Yeah.
We were besties. Was spending all of his time attacking
the flowers.
Yeah, he skipped right over Lannister.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, there's this red thing in the middle. I'll leave it alone.
And so, I couldn't do what I was supposed to do because I was fighting the squids, which I was not prepared for in my mind.
Up until the last three games of the game, it was my favorite game of all time, but playing three games in a row with incompetent players has hurt my value of that game a little bit.
All it takes is one player who doesn't know what they're doing, and the whole game just falls apart. Like, it only takes one.
Yeah.
Because two players at the table then have this backfield that they're just like, don't have to worry about. And they're just like, I crush things that they normally wouldn't be able to crush.
Yeah, that last game, Mo literally vacated a territory. Like, I'm going to attack that territory. He's like, wait, if you don't attack it, I'll just vacate it. And then you can take it and attack one of my other territories.
And he did it.
Like,
he wasn't lying. Like, I thought he had to be lying.
Nope,
he
just
had to be.
Yep.
Well, and the thing that was surprised about that is that Mo is generally not a bad player.
No, Mo is good.
That's why I was so shocked. I was just like,
somehow he just missed some key strategy of that game. Well,
because he's a huge board gamer. He is a huge board gamer. And he's won plenty of games I've played with him. Yeah. I don't know, but
he was not.
Both those games, the Game of Thrones I won, was by manipulating the living crap out of Mo.
Yeah.
Specifically
Mo. Two games in a row.
One I was Stark and he was Squids. The other one I was Squids and he was Stark. And in both cases, I was just like, I'm in charge now, Mo.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, boss. Okay, boss. And it went well for me. Which again,
like, what would you like me to do with my models this turn, Nathan?
Yeah. It worked out well for me.
It did. So, yeah.
Pays anyway. To have a good relationship, and you know
that's
what?
Why Katie plays Circle.
If you hadn't raided my consolidate power, you could have been my dancing puppet, and then I wouldn't have killed you.
Except, let's be honest, I'm
still
no one's won. Dancing puppet.
I still would have won,
oh,
but instead of being
true,
dead,
baby,
you would have. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not get into that.
Yeah. All right, so then oh my god, look, my itinerary says something about a trip.
Oh, hey, look, it says a trip. I wonder if somebody at this table recently went on a trip. Brian?
I actually did not.
Oh.
Must not have been him.
I did.
Yeah?
Where'd
yeah.
you go?
What about
it? I went to the mall, and I got some Cato's Cajun. Delicious chicken.
Did you try the free sample of it first?
I always sneak a free sample of Cato's Cajun when I'm in the mall. Yeah. Like, perfect. I just walk by, I'm like, oh, what's this? I haven't the foggiest. I'll try a piece. Oh, that's quite good. And on my way out, I take a peek, and if it's a different sample-giving person, I'm getting myself another
sample. I don't even check
Cato's
if it's a
Cajun.
Different sample
no,
person.
Just, give me more Cato.
Like, sure, you don't recognize me. You've seen like 100 faces in the last 30 minutes.
Hand me that plate, asshole.
I can take three, right? Sure, I don't
put
care.
Out a fake like Groucho mustache.
They'll hand you a bunch of them
yeah,
if you're
just,
sitting there.
Like I've always wondered if you literally just stood next to the sample person, if they just continue to hand you samples.
Just because it's Pavlovian, they're just programmed to hand it to you. I would do that. I don't need dignity when I have Cato's Cajun.
Exactly.
Oh, shit's so good. And like everybody does this. They have the like two entree meal, and it's always my first entree is Cato's chicken. My second entree is more Cato's chicken. Why do you even bother having other entree choices?
Yeah, and you always get the noodles, or at least I always get the noodles, because they're just better.
Mm. And that was their trip to Australia.
No,
I thought it was Austria.
Austria.
No, you guys went to Australia.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We covered this already.
You went to Australia. It's a continent in the southeastern Pacific Ocean.
Damn, is that why there's so much water?
It is.
You lied to me.
I did not. They lied to you.
No, they're telling me it's Australia. It
you, can
like
listen, you can listen to the podcast. I swear they lied.
Unfortunately, they've all been deleted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hear something about... That's students finding names.
Oh, no. Discussions of that should... No.
Continue with your Australia discussion.
I got to pet a kangaroo.
That's true.
And I got to swim with dolphins.
Did the
wild
kangaroo
dolphins.
Punch you?
Huh?
The kangaroo punch you?
No,
the
dolphin punch you? It just
did a donkey
just,
punch you?
I knew someone was going
to
go
we
there.
We had to.
Did you get to see... was it wearing boxing gloves?
It was no. not.
Were the dolphins wearing boxing gloves?
They were.
Yeah, see, that works.
The dolphins wear boxing
gloves? The flippers, they're just like, just spinning around.
Just slowly sinking.
Not so smart now, are you, dolphins?
But no, the dolphins were actually really cool. They were the small kind, so they can fit in your bathtub.
Yeah.
And so I told Jeremy that we should get one for a dog to play with, but he told me no, because he's a little bitch.
And also, they're endangered.
That's
why you should protect
them
in your bathtub.
I suppose we could. They were really cool, though. Hector's dolphins.
Hector's dolphins.
Yeah, they were cool. We saw kangaroo, and I saw koala.
Who's Hector?
I assume the guy who found them.
Oh, okay.
I didn't actually do any research into it.
Me either. You have pictures of sharks?
I'm not going to
Shark Tank. Wasn't there a shark tank you guys went somewhere?
Oh, we went to the aquarium. They had like a lot of like really cool. It had hammerhead sharks and saw blade sharks. And
speaking of saw blade sharks, are you guys aware that there is a shark that its teeth are like on the outside and it has like a long bill?
Yeah.
They're in the Great Lakes.
Yep, they are.
I doubt that.
We saw one of those in an antique shop. Right, just the
like work in the counter. They just had a shark,
just like the mouth on. It was like
I'm
on a piece. Yeah. Anyway, and Jeremy was like, "No,
pizza.
That's not a real shark, Katie.
It
can't
be.
They just glued teeth onto
I said
a piece
that
of
can't be. It has to be. They attached the teeth to it or something.
Yeah, no,
it's like it just doesn't look like a real thing a fish would have.
And that's why I told you there are horrors in the deep.
There are horrors in the
Katie
deep.
Katie spent the whole trip telling me how she's scared to death of the ocean. Like apparently, the ocean is the most frightening place in the world to Katie.
It is. I still swim in it.
It should be. Like,
just,
have you seen a fucking anglerfish?
Have you seen like, they just proved like within the last couple of weeks the absolute existence of the Kraken.
The giant squid.
They keep finding bigger and bigger squids.
So yeah. the giant squid
and then the colossal squid.
One of the museums went to, yeah.
No, I mean, they got pictures and video of that. Those things are smart.
Mean. And again, anglerfish.
In its natural habitat.
And you can't see them. And they can all outswim you. All of them. Every single one.
Jellyfish can't technically outswim you.
No, they can just sting you to death.
Well, yes.
Everything in the ocean wants you dead.
That's not true. Dolphins
so that nematodes
you.
Can
dolphins
crawl
can
in your
and
eye sockets.
Have killed people.
Dolphins love you.
And they also
rape
each other.
I've seen lots of movies. They do rape each other. That's true. Dolphins rape each
dolphins
other.
Dolphins are yeah. It's like pandas. In the movies, they're like, oh, they're so cute and cuddly. And in the wild, they're like, I will kill
Except
you.
Except we were in the wild with a bunch of dolphins. Yeah. And they were awesome.
Yeah,
dolphins
because
the
they're
size
used
of
to
us.
People. Yeah.
No, actually, they're not. They're like truly wild dolphins.
Yeah, well,
yeah sure.
Also,
how often do those tours go there?
Yeah, like twice a day.
Yeah, I mean, they may not be in an aquarium, but they're not wild. Like, they're smart enough to know that these people are giving them food. They'll be
oh,
nice.
No,
to
we
them.
Don't give them food. They just think it's
fun. It's
fun.
We just think you're interesting.
The point is, dolphins thrill kill. They do. They thrill kill. It's like killer whales.
Kill
you ever see killer whales hunting seals?
That's a great video.
It's amazing. Like, you think they play tennis with them. They beach themselves to get a seal. So first of all, it's not even something in the ocean like they should eat. They ram up onto the beach, they grab a seal, and then they like waddle off the beach. And then they swim way out, like a couple hundred miles out in the ocean, where the seal's just screwed now. And then they just let it go, and then they just like do it again and again. When the seal's too tired to try to struggle, they hit it with their tail so it flies through the air, spinning in horror and pain. And then another killer whale hits it back, and they just do this until it dies. And then they finally sometimes get around to eating it.
Now I have to go watch this video.
Oh, you
know.
Oh,
yeah, they're amazing.
I'm telling you, horrors. I didn't used to be scared of the... Yes. I didn't used to be scared of the ocean, and then I read a book about what's in the ocean.
Jaws.
Knowledge is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's a good official quote by Katie.
Knowledge is terrifying.
Well, you went to Australia where it has the world's deadliest everything.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, and you know what's funny is their entire ecosystem, it's like the most sheltered ecosystem in the world, right? They didn't have dogs or cats or anything. So, like, all of the stuff they have on land can't defend itself worth crap. Like, everything native to Australia, like, you release rats on the island, and half of their animals in their entire country will just die.
No,
rabbits are destroying it.
Yeah, rabbits are taking... Deer? Deer are such a problem that they go out there with, like, automatic weapons to try to kill all the deer.
But the one you're thinking of is New Zealand didn't even have mammals.
Yeah, New Zealand had zero mammals.
Or maybe it was Tasmania.
No, because
Tasmania has Tasmanian devil and Tasmanian wolf and stuff.
So, New New Zealand didn't even have mammals.
Yeah, but New Zealand has the weta. Which is the that it's wow no it's War of the Rings
yeah
Jackson the Weta whatever yeah. So it's
Weta
a
workshop
yeah That's you know what the Rings. Weta is
it's
a grasshopper as big as your head
yeah it's true
what the hell no screw
well,
you
that's
God
because all the insects
why are you putting that on my planet
they all have... the insects took on the role of mammals.
Yeah, or like they have birds that don't fly because they don't need to protect themselves. Because
also, ostriches and emus are ugly and scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Both of those.
Cassowaries?
Things.
Did you see cassowaries?
No, we didn't. No.
That's like an emu that eats flesh. Yeah, they're brutal.
We did see Tasmanian devils, who are actually very cute and cuddly looking, but they'll eat the fuck out of an entire whole chicken. Like, you just, they just,
so
like, it was a chick. No, it was a chick. But, like, no, like, yeah.
I'm
feathers,
cute and cuddly, and
feathers,
I will destroy that
feathers,
chicken.
Claws and everything. And it's just, like, there, and then it's gone. And it's just, like, where'd it go? The Tasmanian devil just destroyed
so like,
it.
Like piranhas?
Yeah.
Like how you see in
no,
like,
no, but
like,
no,
all
they don't take chunks out
no,
of it.
No, there's no chunking. There's no chunking going on.
It's like a snake.
On. Yeah, it's just, like, and the whole animal is about the size of, like a yip yip dog.
It's a cat.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, they're.
Everything in Australia is poisonous.
They're really angry badgers.
Yes. Really small angry badgers.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that that I'm going to take a moment to be squidgy.
Squidgy?
Or romantic.
Okay.
We were walking around Sydney, and I was wearing heels, and we walked like 3 miles that day. And when we got off the subway station, Jeremy carried me back to the hotel because I could not walk.
So,
I'm gonna stand up for my man this one time.
this one time. The rest of the time, you found the bus.
You found some random stranger named Jeremy who carried you back.
I just want to know who Sydney is. So, was that like a friend you were visiting, Sydney? So,
oh, I visited her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's a city.
Like
and cities
Sydney
are normally
house.
Girls, right?
Yeah.
Like a boat?
What? Okay.
How much time have you spent in New Zealand?
Most of the time.
Yeah, two-thirds of the trip was in New Zealand. We got to see the site where they filmed Rivendell for Lord of the Rings. We got to see the site where they filmed the Gardens of Isengard. like when Gandalf goes to meet with Saruman at the beginning. Lord of the Rings fans know this, the rest of you maybe not. Anyway, then they're like walking around. Turns out that's a frisbee golf course in real life. And then there's like the pictures that where they have the Tower of Orthanc, and you can tell it's really fake looking Tower of Orthanc. They had to put it in there because there's like electrical lines there, and they had to have something to hide them in the pictures. So like, it's actually really funny. Like, they just filmed like just wherever the hell they wanted, and they didn't tell people. This would not work in the U.S. I think it was Nathan. I was discussing this with you. Like, they just didn't announce any of their filming locations except for like two of them. For 3 years, they're filming in New Zealand, and the people in New Zealand, like 3 years, the movie comes out, they're like, "Oh my god, they were filming here!" Like, they just had no idea. They like filmed
That's
like
not true,
50 feet from streets, and like
they did know that they were filming though, because the tour guide lady was like, "Everybody that you talk to will either have been in the film or know somebody who has been in the film."
That's true. It employed something like 2/3 or 3/4 of the entire nation.
What percentage of the population is orcs?
A large
like,
percentage.
Is that like a big demographic?
It is.
Or is it like the same like 50 or 100? Kind of like Native Americans, the same like 50 are in every movie?
Oh no, like you don't know how they did the orcs, the Uruk-hai in there? Those aren't actually extras.
They're not actually Homestead. There's makeup?
They're actual orcs? Like
no,
they're wild
they
animals?
Weta Workshop came up with a software program that models mob behavior.
Well, yeah, the mobs, yes, but there are individual orcs and orcs.
Yeah, remember they had character faces?
Yeah, were they close
up? I'm just saying, are those actual orc actors with proud heritage?
No, they're from Australia. They're
like they're wearing blackface. Like they're wearing orc face, because that's just offensive.
Do the orcs in New Zealand? Do they have the same rights as
other
folks?
They did not. When they put them in buses, they would have to black out the windows. People didn't have to look at them.
They gave the orcs blackface. What?
That too.
Why would orcs?
Also, speaking about black people, there are none in the Australian nation.
How did we segue into that?
Oh my god.
There's like no black people in Australia or New Zealand. Mexicans.
Because there's world does everything. They're smart enough not to go there. They're like, what? They're like, no.
They heard about the giant grasshoppers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also an entire Australia, at least, is an entire country of beaches. Like, nobody lives more than like 50 miles max from the shore. Because if you live in the interior of Australia, you're just going to get fucked up by the countryside.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Aborigines live
there. Well, right.
I mean,
there actually aren't that many Aborigines that live inland either.
Not
it's
anymore.
Just not somewhere. No, it doesn't support habitable. Life well. The Aborigines used to live on the coast. It's really, like, just not somewhere you want to
well,
live.
Well, I know also Crocodile Dundee. He lives
Crocodile Dundee does live somewhere in the outback. That's true.
Yeah, hey, he has a real name. It's Mick Dundee.
I apologize, Mr. Mick.
Hey, that is friend. Mr. Dundee to you.
Yeah. Clearly.
He taught me
he
what
would
a bidet
be if I met
was.
Him in person, let me tell you.
Hey, so this is a War Machine podcast.
Oh, right.
So I'm we should talk about aware. Something topical War Machine related.
Yay.
Which is the Arata. Just came out today? Last night?
Today. Today. Just today. Hours ago, fresh off the internet.
Hot off the presses, bitches.
Jeremy. And so I've got it in front of me here. Let's see.
Go, Jeremy, go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody can comment on this. I just have the copy in front of me. So they added that a model's controller can check its line of sight at any time, which I thought was already common knowledge.
Well, it wasn't specifically spelled out. I mean, line of sight is a known thing.
Right.
Yeah. That you're always entitled to know. It's just now it's officially black and white in the book.
At least in our meta, it's become a big thing. A bunch of us have picked up these laser things that I guess the Texas guys first started using them.
Yeah.
That you can check line of sight really easily with.
Well, basically, it was also derived in normal wargaming as well. But
sure. But yeah, like it's become much more popular in our gaming group recently.
Iowa does too, because Keith had one at the Who's the Boss.
You got him from the tech.
A big one that makes it topical that people have been debating recently was Cassius's Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Cassius, who, by the way, can transfer damage from his tree.
Yes.
I believe I was misquoted on the last episode.
Yeah, misquoted.
Anyway, his forest is... You don't put a template down, but it is a constantly checkable entity because you can just check 3 inches into any forest on the table whenever you want to.
Correct.
Because of line of sight.
Was that not a known thing? Because I've been doing that for a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, the issue was, and I'm kind of of the opinion of, his feat doesn't say, like, wall within his control, things are treated as a forest, which is a check it when it matters. It just says, bam, forest. So to me, it feels like you should literally just have a 20-inch ring that you set down and say, this is a forest. But whatever. Instead, they just say, check as much as you want. Have fun.
But you only get to check the 3 inches in. You don't technically check the edge.
Right, but that will tell you.
But that'll tell you.
The
I'm
edge
just saying, but
for most purposes.
That's technically how you do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Anybody else have anything to add to the line of sight stuff before I read the next one?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tramples are now attack rolls instead of just attack nothings.
Take that, Eddie Scar.
Whatever they were.
I don't actually know what that means.
The biggest thing it means is an attack inherently includes a targeting step, whereas just a roll does not. So the two biggest points where that matters is if you were trampling over E Scar, who is immune to targeting on her feet turn, or trampling over Saren, who is immune to targeting on her feet turn.
Okay.
So you can just try, because you could always another trick like Iskar. You spray over things, and sprays are the same way. You target one model, and then everybody else under it's hit regardless. It's exactly like that now.
Okay.
Only
also,
melee.
You can two-handed throw at Iskar. She doesn't like that either.
Right, because that's also not an attack.
A two-handed throw. I thought a two-handed throw was a power attack.
The person you are grabbing is being attacked. The person you are throwing them at is not being attacked.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. It's not an
that's
attack.
That's amazing.
You use your mat to see if they are hit, but it is not an attack.
Yep. I'm gonna have to try that out if I ever have the unfortunateness to face these Gargan.
Yeah,
you will.
I mean, the other thing,
you don't really have that many things in Rhett that could do two-handed throws anyway. Besides Hyperion,
Sphinx.
Okay. Sphinx. Yeah.
Sphinx.
So you can bring the Sphinx.
And Hyperion, but I'm not going to waste a two-handed throw on Hyperion, probably.
Besides, you'll be too busy just spraying her to death with things.
Yeah, well, I don't really have many sprays either.
Discordia?
Discordia.
You got the snake.
Yeah, Dahlia and Scarif.
Yeah.
Which I keep meaning to buy it one of these days, but I haven't.
I have two of them.
Oh, that's right. You told me about this, actually. Yeah. I need to buy a Dahlia Scarifopium. Yep. All right, so they changed it so that Colossals... it's propane. That's true. So I get a discount, right?
No, that's fine.
Inside joke, hilarious.
Inside joke. So a crippled superstructure also disables a weapon in the S system, which apparently was not spelled out before.
Right.
So that's fairly self-apparent.
Correct.
Something about Witch Hound changed. We can't figure out what they changed.
You're so useful at this. You're the worst at reading these.
I'm going through them, and this is exactly what we said before the podcast. We can't tell what's different about Witch Hound.
Well, if you read it.
Okay, so the new wording is, replace Witch Hound with the following. When one or more models in this model's battle group that are in its control area are hit by an enemy magic attack, immediately after the attack is resolved, one model in this model's battle group that is in its control area can make a full advance and make one normal attack.
Was a control area limited before?
Yes.
Okay, then the only thing I can think of that's different about that must be the one or more.
Yeah, so if you get magic sprayed or whatever.
I mean, I've always played it that way, but...
Yeah, you cast an AoE spell and you hit, like, four targets. You can't get four Witch Hounds off of it. You can only just get one.
And I just don't remember if the wording said that before. Also, interestingly enough, its control area is not possessive, so that's probably a typo.
What is it, IT apostrophe S?
There's no apostrophe.
So there shouldn't be, because that's how possessive it works.
With the apostrophe,
it's with an apostrophe means it is.
Really?
Yes.
That's how that works?
That's why people get it wrong, is because it's a non-apostrophe possessive.
That's weird. All right, well.
Also,
grammar tip of the day.
Outlook, Word, all of those should correct that for you.
Yeah, but I probably wouldn't notice that unless I'm reading it.
I'm just glad you tried to be all snarky and point out that grammar wrong, and you were just being stupid.
Yeah.
That's not the first time that's happened.
Hoisted by your own petard.
That is true. They changed Commander Harkovich's jump start. Replace the first two sentences with the following. Models in this model's battle group that are currently in its control area stand up and are no longer stationary. Affected models can turn to face any direction. I think the stationary is new?
No.
It's basically the same.
It's basically the same.
It's probably just, I suppose we should probably just get a rule book and
some small rewording.
Compare it, but it's basically the same thing as what it was before.
Didn't we have Primal out a second ago?
I have a Kador book I'll grab.
All right. I will continue. We'll come back to that one. So critical amputation has been replaced with, on a critical hit, Warjack head and arm systems that suffer damage from this attack are crippled. Basically, as far as we can tell, basically this rules out subcortex and superstructure.
Yeah, it basically says, the original one says weapon systems.
Right.
And this one specifically mentions head, because head normally wasn't a weapon system.
No,
or it depends on the smaller chickens and...
Yeah.
And some of the other jacks, but
some weird stuff. Yeah, I think maybe one of your warp wolves, doesn't it have a bite attack? It's probably a head, I would assume. I don't actually know. Colden Lord's Iron Wall, and he's getting the Kador book, so that'll help out with this. When this model is directly hit by an enemy ranged or magic attack, you can choose to have one of those non-incorporeal warjacks to be directly hit instead. That model is automatically hit and suffers all damage and effects.
Yeah, that's basically the same thing as shield wall, in a sense.
So
you can't shield wall into something that's incorporeal.
Oh, so it didn't used to limit it to non-incorporeal?
So I've got my Kador book, and Harkovich isn't in it.
Right, because he came out in wrath. That is true.
So
I have War Room up. War Room takes the exact amount of time to get as it does to find you to find a book.
Just to go to another room and find a book.
Yeah. Have they updated the errata in there, though? Because if that doesn't have the old wording...
Well, I want to find the old...
But I
well, that's my point.
But if it's errata, that won't tell us what changed.
When they say for War Room, it should be
right.
But I haven't done the update.
Okay. Well, if we haven't done the update, then we can check
jump dart, jump start. Models in this model's battery group that are all currently in its control area can immediately turn to face any direction. Affected models that are stationary or knocked down are no longer stationary and stand up.
So okay, so they didn't actually change.
Pretty much
they just
the
reworded
same.
It.
They reworded it, yeah.
I thought the Iron Will thing did change
you
more,
know,
though.
I wonder if that's a rules finagly thing. The new wording has them stand up and then turn to face. The old wording has turn and then stand.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Because you can't move while you're knocked down, and rotating is a movement.
That's true. So that's probably why they changed it.
Maybe
so the
it's
other
just
one's
a
on
rules
Cold
Lord,
thing. If you want to pull that up, Brian, the Iron Wall thing. Or he can flip through the book. That works too. We found it. War Room, he didn't have updated. Should I read the
we
next
We are
one?
Well prepared. Yeah,
we
you move
awesome.
On.
All right, moving on. The master necrotech, Morten Nebra, his jump start was also changed.
It's a her.
Same wording.
It's the same. Oh, Morten Nebra's a her. Same
yeah, Morten Nebra's a her.
Yeah, same thing.
She's an ex-Cirrus priest.
The Kraken now has a
I'm
limit
sure
of 3 corpse.
I pronounced that wrong and people are going
to
yell
you know,
at
I see that the Kraken always had a limit of 3. They must have just worded it.
It says, add the following to the text of Collector. This model can have up to 3 corpse tokens at a time. I think one of its attacks had a limit listed, but that attack didn't or something. I don't
maybe.
Know.
But it, we,
I can look at it.
Everyone played it as a 3.
The limit was always known, yes. Yeah. Kalissa's Witch Hound was also changed the same way as the other one. This is actually a big change, and we were talking about this Saturday. Hyperion, if you look on its card, is not listed as a Myrmidon, which seems like it's not a big deal, except one of the best ways to screw with a Colossal is to park Epic Eris next to it. And Rhett players, or at least I as a Rhett player, am not used to giving two shits about that little elf. Because my Epic Eris, your Epic Eris, I don't care, I'm running all Myrmidons,
yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
That was just an overlook. It's kind of like how Scaldi was not a champion.
Correct.
That was just, they forgot to put a word on the card because it was obvious that the word was supposed to be there.
Right.
Like Bale. Bale for Everblight was not an officer as well.
Right.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
What does Myrmidon mean?
It's just like, a keyword that Myrmidons are not affected by Epic Eris, among other
the
things.
Big, yeah. The Retributions Jacks are called Myrmidons because they have a lot of special abilities. Right. And so they can just say Myrmidons blank, blank, blankety blank, and
okay.
Hyperion didn't count.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And among other things, I think one of the rules that you only get if you're a Myrmidon is the ability to regenerate your shield.
That's
so if it technically
like
wasn't a Myrmidon, it technically couldn't regenerate its force field, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it wasn't immune to Iris and
right.
so on
so,
and so,
so
on.
It, all those things that should have been true, it was an overlook. They didn't mean to make it not a Myrmidon. The Warpborn Alpha now has Reach on his poleaxe.
They forgot to put the icon on his card.
Yeah.
So the solo that's attached to a Reach unit has Reach now. Good job.
That hasn't even been released yet.
It hasn't even been released yet, but they released the text for him. So Saren, they re-released Saren's feat a while back to not include specifically huge-based models. Now it also specifically limits it to one round. Because her original card limited her feat to one round, but the errata they released did not.
They had to errata the errata.
So they had to errata the errata to limit it to one round. Although, obviously, everyone knew that.
That's the second time they've had a feat that lasts for the rest
also,
of the game.
Also, you forgot the Crix errata. You gasp, he's no longer allowed in tournaments.
That is an amazing errata, and I think that's just a house rule.
We wrote that in Cran in the errata.
So how does this work? Do they like re-release the cards? Or
no, you just have... Well, War Room will automatically re-alter itself, yes. And then you're supposed to just... Take post-it notes and put them in your rule books.
So what happens if you're at a tournament and you're like, well, the new rules say blah, 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 and then your opponent is like, no, they don't.
Yeah. I always keep
and
a copy
then...
of the latest errata in
your teal okay. will have that with him as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So
if you have War Room, it'll be up to date on there as well, and in the card form.
But if you don't have War Room, what you should do is you should have a copy of the errata if it's something you care about for your list.
If you're going to a tournament, read the current errata.
Yeah.
Because those are the official rules of the game.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do the erratas just keep getting bigger each time?
They're not that big.
Like,
I mean, this is the whole errata. This is everything.
So these are all the changes...
Ever.
Ever. Okay.
The ones we have
the ones he read are the most recent one, but that like five sheets of paper he's pointing at is everything forever in Mark II.
It's only that long even because... Every model has like the same ability is reworded in those places.
Yeah, there's a couple of abilities that they've got listed in there like 7 times because they affect they're on 7 different models.
Yeah, and a lot of times the errata will literally like add 2 words, but it takes a paragraph and I have to tell you where to add the 2 words. So the errata is actually a lot smaller than that pamphlet looks.
Yeah,
okay.
And a lot of it is common sense, just them rewording something so there's no more ambiguity to the rule.
I do hope eventually. I've talked to some of the staffers about it, and they said you know it's not very cost effective, nor is it yet necessary. But in the future, if the errata ever does get to the point where it's that large, it would be neat if they like for $10 or something released just a pack of all the cards. that have errata, so that you could just throw out all the old ones and have current cards.
If they would go to the effort of new cards, I would personally like to see like a 2.5 where they would actually, you know, potentially even do new, like how new, we did the
new art
testing. Not art. No, like how they did the before when Mark II launched, they had the field test.
Yeah,
I love to see two new field tests and retweak it.
You just want to see DC's mind explode.
DC would explode, but I'm telling you, the game when Mark II came out, the vast majority of the models are playable. In Mark I, there was such a huge percentage of bad models and a few too good. Now we still have a few too good and very few bad, but they're still the top end and the bottom end could be tweaked.
There's maybe a dozen overly good and a dozen overly bad things total now.
We have
10 of the dozen overly good are in cricks.
Well, it's another problem. It's the overly good. Certain players can't get away from the overly good. People are just too.
Well, and I don't blame someone for not wanting to play something that's really good. Like, that's hard to blame someone for.
But yeah,
it is
legal in the system.
But it gets boring fast.
Yeah, like
I guess.
Yeah, playing up against Illich every tournament sucks. But he's really good.
I don't want to jump onto the Crix jump the bandwagon right away though. But I think the problem with Crix is
they're sexy
in their troops types. The ones that aren't playing as much are just not as good as the other ones, but if they were in some other faction, would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, such as the Cephalix Overlords.
The Drudge
Slaves. If they were in Mercenaries, be awesome. Why aren't they in Mercenaries? Why isn't there a Crix-based Mercenary contract? Why is there text on that card?
I just want to put Roth's Mercy on them. Is that so wrong?
Yes.
Well, and
probably.
Even in Crix, like, Crix would run those guys if Macanthrals didn't exist.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of these, like, quote-unquote bad units are only bad because they are just barely worse than a nearly identical thing in their own faction. You know, like, Crow's Cutthroats, they're a solid, solid unit that's worse than Nyss. So Merc players don't ever run them because Nyss are better.
Same with the Circle unit that always gets replaced by them that I don't even remember the name of.
Yeah. Or the Trolls too. Trolls have Bushwhackers and Troll players just bring
them. I've seen people play Bushwhackers.
Mostly me.
And Jay. I've got them.
But
like Cinerators and Bastions, I mean, they're basically, they're not the same model, but I mean, they're...
If Bastions were FA1, I think you'd see Cinerators as a second unit a lot more.
You would definitely see them on the field a lot more.
And then there's a few models that are just truly bad, like, just to pick on my own faction, the Heavy Rifle team is just unplayably bad. It just is. I played it because it's a great look. I actually like the look of the model a lot. It's a cool-looking model, the guy with his rifle up and stuff, but it's just unplayably bad. You give that thing, like, two more POW,
Is that your light artillery?
It's my light artillery, but instead of it being an AOE, it has armor piercing.
Right.
But then it's POW 8, so you don't care. Like, if it's POW 10 armor-piercing, maybe you start to have a conversation.
Well, that's pretty... POW 8 armor-piercing, it's fairly...
But not with no ability to boost.
But not with no boosting, that's true.
No ability to boost, can't move and shoot. Like, with the restrictions of light artillery, it needs to be slightly more powerful to be playable.
That is true.
It just does.
Well, Skinners. I would say all light artillery needs to be slightly more better to be playable.
Not Kator's, but yeah.
Kator's mortar, like, it's the exception. Like, the mortar's really good. Some of the other ones are okay.
Yeah.
But when you take them, you're downgrading your list for the purpose of feeling good about taking artillery.
The troll one flanks well, I've heard.
The thumper? Yeah, the thumper's good. Solid. The thumper's all right.
But like you said, a lot of light artillery. Just light artillery as a whole is kind of a little bit meh. The same is true, like, cavalry units could be powered up just a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit, because of the fact that they're only good on the charge right now.
They're after the charge, they need to be something a little bit more. And
yes,
either an extra attack,
or
something like that.
Yeah.
I could see.
See,
that.
I guess I'm shrugging at that because my artillery,
maintaining reach.
My cavalry have four attacks
your
on the charge and have reach.
So
I mean, I'm the wrong. Like you're saying this, and I'm like, oh, they got four attacks on the charge and they have reach all the time. But I guess I'm just spoiled.
Yeah, you're
completely spoiled.
The two cav that have reach all the time are both playable, and that's the Mercs and the Tuffalo,
and Soul Hunters.
Soul Hunters are pretty sweet.
They have reach all the time. Ferox have reach all the time.
So you're making my point. Ones that have reach all the time are all
but
playable.
But that's the thing is people a lot of times say, oh, cavalry. Most cavalry is pretty bad except for the mercenaries, the Crix, the Scorn, the Legion. You know, and they list all of them. Like, they really are more than half. The majority of cavalry are good. Like, they really are. Tuffalo, good. The Legion ones are good. The circle ones are good.
The Tuffalo is the only. I just wish they had more survivability.
The
scored
ones good.
Charge.
So there's all the hordes ones are good.
The circle ones,
the wolves.
I've never played the Wolf, so I don't know.
All right,
know.
Well,
Wolf
downgrade Rush? Them.
I don't, I don't know. Say, I don't know. I just
in Mark 1, they were great because they had infinite command. Mark 2, I've seen people play them, but I guess I haven't seen that often, so we'll say 3 out of 4 Hordes ones are
Hordes
pretty
ones,
expected to be
good. The Hordes
ones
in general are fairly solid.
And then
fair.
War Machine, you have Mercenaries are good. The Krix ones, I think, are solid. I guess then the other Prime ones, I guess Signar, Kador, and Protectorate aren't that good.
And no, I've seen Signars has been pretty solid. I mean,
Signars and that one Theme Force I played.
With the armor buff on them, they can do pretty well. Mm-hmm. And with Catherine, they really have a lot of killing stuff.
All right, so, Retcav.
Hey, Retcav, you can take like the 3 solos. People think you have a minion.
Yeah,
you charge in every direction. You confuse
my solo cav are amazing. I'm not talking about solo cav. Most solo cav in the game are actually really good. But the cav units...
Still, the majority of cav units are good.
Okay, yeah. That's
good. Unlike artillery, where like 2 of the 10 are good.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, I was one of the rare Kador players that ever put a field gun on the table. And I love that thing, too. No. The field gun.
Oh, they have an actual field gun, too?
Yeah. So therefore, yeah, you don't even know about it, so yeah.
Signar is the same thing. They got an artillery and a chain gun. And,
yep.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was kind of cool when it was back in Mark 1, but Mark 2, it's, yeah.
Meh. Yeah, so that happens, but.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the errata.
This is an errata without a nerfed Gatsby 2, which both of the last two did have. So.
That is one thing I would like to see.
I do wish it did have one.
I understand they're not wanting to reprint all the cards. Gatsby 2's feat has changed so much. I really wish his card was reprinted, so that when you say, how does that feat work again? And you look at it and you're like, the hell it does. And you're like, but it's all different now.
They have
Ghost Lance and Incorporeal, and he can't bring back Large Base.
Yep.
That's it.
Which is a big deal, both of those.
Yeah, yeah. Those are both big deals.
The only big change I would have wanted
to see...
Who cares?
He's always bringing back Banes anyway.
Yeah, the only big change I wanted to see for them is to change up how...
Excarnate
is done, where the model brought back is similar to Thagrosh's feat, where it cannot activate that turn.
Or no action is similar to Gorshade 2, so that's even crazy. I mean, that's... I think the vast majority of players out there are of the opinion that Excarnate needs a limitation to the model's activation. I've heard several different ones. I've heard no activation. I've heard no action. I've heard no special attacks. I've heard no ranged attacks.
I'll be honest. You do that to Excarnate, no one ever casts it, though.
If you take... Yes. It's still a two-cost zap. Like, if you make it a two-coster, it's a two-cost zap with a minor benefit, which those exist.
Now, yeah.
Right. It's 3 now. At 3. But if it was no ranged attacks, so, like, you still could bring back Banes and stuff, like... That's still a good.
Well, it's power 13, too. So
yeah, it's a strong spell.
Gatsby and Scabbers have ways of getting souls, so they could potentially spam in an assassin, crazy magic assassination if things are getting weird.
If you had a 3-cost spell that was POW 13, range 10, that added a grunt to a unit of your choice, you're telling me you'd never cast it?
I have 3-cost POW 12 and 13s on
Yeah, and you cast them.
That I don't cast.
Mm. Mm. All right.
Like, I just don't. Unless my caster's going for, like oh man, we're going to die, let's try to assassinate his caster.
So... That explains a lot, then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So don't take tactical advice from me. Is that where this is going?
That's kind of where we're going with that.
That's where this is going.
That's kind of where we're going with that. Speaking of not taking tactical advice from you, how'd you do in the tournament on Saturday?
Oh, I did great. It was really good. I broke 50-50 by exactly going 50-50. I went 2-2. I won my first game against Jim Alf. I don't remember where he's from. Milwaukee?
He's from the Rockford area.
Okay. So he's a cool guy. I played him at several of our local tournaments. We had a fun game. He was playing Gatsby 3, who he's pretty new to. I think he said he picked him just a couple weeks ago. And he just moved Gatsby 3 too far forward, and I shot him to death with a science feat. He was playing the list well, though. Second game was against, I just don't remember his name, but one of the DeKalb kids. And that game went pretty well. In the end, he sprayed me down with the Drake, which sucks, but it happens. He was playing Scorn, and the Drake got a lucky spray on me and rolled high in damage, so that happens. Third game, I played against Andy here, and turns out that P. Doomy has a feat, and it's this thing where if Ron casts a four-cost spell, it's really bad for Ron.
Who takes how much damage?
Andy also rolled bonkers high. He rolled, what, like a 24 on 4 dice?
No, it was only 21.
Okay, 21.
I cast Force Hammer, I die.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, I cast Force Hammer. Oh, I guess you could roll that high on that, can't you?
The best.
To be fair, I asked to look at his feat card, and then he did the rest of his turn, and then I completely forgot he'd feated. So it's not like I was like, I'm going to take this 50-50 chance my caster dies. It was like, oh, crap, that's right, your feat's up. oh, this will be fine. There's no way he'll roll 16 on four dice. Oh, that just happened. So yeah. That was my game against Andy.
You mean Andy didn't tell you before his turn, don't do anything with my feet's up?
Yeah, well.
He didn't say, do you want to shake that knockdown?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Gotcha.
Zynga. So, yeah.
Chunkle. Hey, I did have a token on the board, though, showing that my feet was up, though.
He did
time.
Put a token down. It's true. Yeah, I just. So. Pidumi's feet is one of those feats that's really easy to forget about. Like most feats,
no.
Most feats are a lot harder for me to forget.
You'll never
know.
Forget it again.
You'll never forget it again, though.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. So that happened. And then my last game, I won against... I don't even remember who I played the fourth round. That's terrible.
See, there's a great...
There's a great app. I know.
It's called Iron Grudge.
I take notes in my notebook so I can have more thorough notes of the thing, though.
Iron Grudge has an add whatever you want to option.
I know it does.
You get the most, yeah.
I know, but... So, fourth game, I won against somebody. I don't remember who I was playing because I was still deploying my army when Brian announced he'd lost. Spoiler alert.
I think you were playing Skittles.
Yeah, that's what I was playing.
You were playing Dan.
I was playing Dan from our local area. So, he was playing Signar.
Dan was there?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently. Dan, you know, to be fair, you don't have to show up to the tournament to beat Jeremy.
Dan was there.
Yeah, I know. He was
like,
there,
they call you and they're like, hey, I know you couldn't make it to the tournament today, but you went 1-3. You beat Jeremy.
Oh, that's right. He was playing East Striker. And I, on a science feat turn, killed Centurion, another heavy jack, and like 8 or 9 infantry. And then Dan just kind of cried on his side of the table and moved models around for the rest of the game until he slowly died. Because at that point, he hadn't killed a model of mine and his army was dead. So, yeah, it was sad for him.
That wasn't very nice.
Jerk.
I'm a mean guy.
Just because you can't beat Katie, you have to take it out on poor Dan.
I do.
That's
it's
not
true.
Very. That's not very gentlemanly.
Which I support, because he backstabbed me in that game of diplomacy twice.
So anyway, that was my day. I actually had a lot of fun, even though I only went 50-50. It was a good tournament. I thought Rick ran it really well. He's one of our newer PGs in the area, and I think he's actually, for somebody who's been PGing not very long, he actually did a really, really good job.
It was a
very,
very good tournament. Terrain was set up really good.
Yep.
He kept things going really well.
Yep.
18. I mean, there was only 8 sign-ups and 18 showed up, so he had a lot of last-second kind of hecticness. But
and I was one of those.
Sign up, people. The PG appreciates it.
Yeah.
Like, when we set up, like, 5 tables and then 20 people walk in the door and it's like, ah.
So anyway, that was my day. Someone else can talk if they want.
I don't know how magnanimous
I'm
going to
go, because it'll take about 2 seconds. I slept until 2, and then I went and watched people play.
I had to work. I was closing manager, and was supposed to have a team of 5 people. The team ended up being me and one guy who was drunk, running the whole store. And a drunk guy.
Did you take a couple shots with them?
No.
Level the playing field?
He had been out drinking until like 5:30 the previous morning, and so like we were just doing stuff, and he's just like, man, I am still so drunk. Like, it had not gotten out of my system yet. That was my day.
Nice.
Well, I suppose I could talk about my day here before we go into Brian's glorious victories. My first game was against Jim Bratz, one of our locals here. Plays wonderful mercenaries. Went down to dice down.
He was playing mercs. I thought he was still doing.
No, Rhett. No. He was. I was saying Jim plays mercenaries and our thing here, but he was playing Rhett here.
Oh, okay.
Absent on the forums.
Absent on the forums.
Internet famous. Absent.
Yep.
It's true.
Infamous.
Yep. Him and I went back and forth. Went basically almost a dice down. Was able to pull me out with, yeah.
Well,
with
to be death fair, we didn't even know there was a dice down, but there's a dice down.
Yes, yeah.
In
Deathlock, there
as
is.
It turns out.
18 people said, what the fuck? At the same time when Hubert called dice down. It was the greatest thing in the world. And he was playing it accurate. He was dueling when
he
showed
us the rules.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The way it works... If you're running Death Clock, you each get an hour, for instance. At the same time that you're supposed to be starting, the TO will also start a clock that's 2 hours long. If, when his clock goes off, your two clocks combined are over 5 minutes, you both lose hooray. Because that means it took you so long to get started after he told you to start that you're dumb, apparently.
Yep.
And so you just literally both lose. It's not like old dice down, let's figure out tiebreakers. It's just like, nope, you both lose right now. Thanks
for
playing.
If there's more than 5.
If you have more than 5 minutes combined on your two clocks. If there's less than 5 minutes between your two clocks, you get to play it out.
Yeah, so Jim and I, we basically, he ended up beating me by scenario, which that was fun. My second game was against Jay Bucket.
Mr. Bucket.
My second game.
Oh, you play Jay Bucket?
Yeah, I did play Jay Bucket.
Oh. You played with him, would you say?
Did you play with the bucket?
God.
Don't spill.
Seriously.
But anyway, he had Gatsby 1. I took Doomshaper. I should specify before as I took Doomshaper on my last list to Theme Force. I was able to pull off an assassination victory on there. Jeremy decided to kill Ron.
Yep.
Red casters work very well when they spontaneously combust.
Yeah, turns out it's much easier to win that way.
And my last game was against Sorcerer 2, was kind of against a newer player. And she did not do well against an Earthborn coming flying up the field at her. Did not, no. No, and that was my full day. I went 3-1. My only loss was against Jim. So, over to Brian.
My goal on Saturday was to play the Coven Theme Force most of the day.
The new one?
The old one. I don't have the models for the new one yet. I need to play it Friday. But I had two units of Soul on it. I had them all painted up. I was all excited. And then Jordan, a day before, I'm playing two Storm Walls and E-Haley. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I need to get a list to deal with that. So last second, I make this really crazy P. Denny list. And then the event starts, and I realize that I had put the Death Jack in both my lists because I've never played an event in my life before, and there's character restrictions, and I'm a moron. So I have to I just quick cross off Death Jack from the Coven list, making my Coven list really lame because I threw in a hair word, which is fine, but the list was, it needed the Death Jack for what I wanted to do. And my P. Denny list only had 13 models. It was a couple big jacks, snapdraws, some pistol race, and sirens. And I played it all day, and first round, I played the guy, it was his first tournament ever. So I was like, well, I'll show you the ropes. And he had P-Sortion, and that's always scary for Crick. So it's like, it's his first tournament, and I've learned enough. You just can't, just because someone says his first tournament, he could have played the game for a long time. So I approach it kind of cautiously. I got up 4 control points to none, and I literally thought to myself, I moved forward, played aggressively, and I'm like, if I stop just the way I'm at, if he's really smart and clever, he might kill my caster, so I'm going to stop right where I am, and I'm going to test this guy out. It's his first tournament. If he does everything right, I'm going to die, so let's see what he can do. And he, first thing he did is he started allocating focus, so I knew he didn't see the assassination, because if his caster is going to kill you, you got to hold all the focus. But then he moved his caster forward, popped his feet, got my caster forward, and then he wanted to wind rush and get to my caster. But he didn't. He had a unit of Widowmakers in the way that he just couldn't fit through the bases. So he saw the assassination, but I don't know why he allocated the focus. I think just out of habit they give the conquest focus. But if he would have held it all and not done that, he would have killed me.
And moved the Widowmakers out of the way.
If he would have moved the Widowmakers and held it all, he would have killed me. Because he had to do a few things to get to that. So I wanted to just see what he could do, and he didn't quite pull it off, so I won. Round two, I played Dave from Rockford. He plays Signar a lot. I won that game 7 control points to 6 because we both just swarmed the opposite control points and just trying to, we're killing each other off, you know, trying to basically get ahead of points. And it just, the way the scoring worked, we kept dominating and killing all the objectives and just had this crazy score of 7-6. We literally only killed 15 models total. So it was more of a scenario game than a War Machine game, which was a little bit lame, but it was kind of funny. Round three was the scoring kid who beat Jeremy, and that was the only game where I literally crushed somebody's soul because I would typically run Denny forward on turn one, Walker forward on turn two, feet, get my entire army in position, and then crush opponent's army the next turn on the games I engaged, and I basically killed all of his Titans in one turn. So he had, like, 3 Slingers and a Gatorman left. And Rasheth.
That's good. He's got that.
With Rasheth.
Yeah, he'll get you.
So he basically just said, you win.
Okay, wait. I was sitting, like, 3 tables down during that game, and I knew that Brian was going to just crush the crap out of him when I heard at one point Brian say, well, you got 43 minutes left on your clock, so you can just sit here for 43 minutes and see if you can figure out a way not to die. I was like, wow, way to be a good stand-up guy, Brian.
Wow, way to follow Wheaton's Law.
Hey, I was just trying to be like, you know, take your time, find your best, because all he could do was go have a Hail Mary pass.
Your time, figure out the best way to go fuck yourself, and then shove it sideways, loser.
Well, you know.
Where are your Titans now, bitch? Oh, does Bambi have no Titans? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, he had an Agonizer left, too.
Oh, well, never mind. Then he was fine.
I killed his Titans without focus. Anyway.
Wrong.
Nightmare, Deathjack, and a Gator can do a lot of damage when everything's parasited and minus stats. My last game was against Lucas, who was from DeKalb. DeKalb, Illinois, has like a crew of like 4 to 6 people who come up to our events lately, and they're all... between 15 and 20, maybe. I think they might be as old as 20. Maybe they're 18. I don't know. I can't tell how old young people are now. You're all whippersnappers to me. But he had a P. Magic Troll Brick, and I had a P. Denny. So I he went first, ran four. I'm like, I'm just going to run. I'm going to run Denny forward, and if he has shenanigans, he'll kill me. If not, I'm going to walk forward and feet. And it turned out he had shenanigans.
All right. No, no, you should rules. Explain what the really fancy shenanigans he had were, because no one's ever heard of this move.
Well, ever. He had this thing called an Earthborn.
Yeah.
And it has this ability where if it's near rough terrain, it gets plus two movement.
Yeah.
I thought an Earthborn got plus plus defense near rough terrain.
That's
plus
water.
Movement near water. Yeah. So I did have the abilities reversed in my head. But I was almost 12 and a half inches away, which was technically the exact distance required to die. Yeah.
You should try 12 and three quarters. Yes. I hear it's good times.
Yeah. Well, I honestly just ran my cast forward thinking, eh, we'll see what happens. That was my strategy in the championship game, going, eh.
Yeah. Well, the best part was Jeremy and Dan had just started their game. Like, it was Jeremy's first round, and yeah. Then they declared the winner. Yeah. Was not Brian.
Well, Lucas is running around all like excited he won the tournament. He's like, I won a tournament.
I'm well, like, no, like Lucas didn't even come near my table. I just heard someone else go, oh. Brian died, and I'm like, what? Yeah. During deployment?
Yeah, I was getting crap from the losers table all about how I did so poorly and got second. Like you suck. You got second place.
True.
Look at me back here. I might get 50% if I'm lucky.
I did get 50%.
Congratulations.
You got second. He won two games. That's the same thing, Brian. Yeah.
You know, second place is the first loser.
It
just
is.
Ask anybody.
And you were the 17th loser.
They do say first. If you're not first, you're last.
I prove that at every tournament.
But no, he ran Rick ran a very good event. He kept it going. I mean, it was very good.
Yeah, it was very, very solid.
I definitely enjoyed the SR 2013. I guess none of us really talked about this. It was SR 2013 rules, or at least
the most recently released
beta. The final isn't actually dropped yet. And it was really kind of fascinating, some of the changes. I really liked some of the rules. I know this has been mentioned before, but casters not contesting zones was actually really kind of cool. Some of the other rules I'll let you guys figure out for yourselves, but SR 2013, I like it in general. I think it's a well-put-together
hopefully the final of it will drop soon, and then we'll talk about it more in depth.
If
we talk about it now, whatever we mention, they'll change. So
well,
we're really,
I'm not going. Yeah, I just want to say it was a Death Star 2013. I thought it was cool.
So far, we're very excited about it.
Yeah, this next year in the tournament season will be really neat seeing what really comes out, because it seems to be a lot more interaction with the scenario as compared to before.
Yes,
where it's just like I'm going to move, I'm going to play geometry.
I'm very sad that loss put me at 18-2 now. My percentage just went out the window.
Sorry, Katie, are we boring you?
No, my friend Mary has been half dating this guy for, not just sleeping with a guy for 2 years.
Yeah.
And they actually...
No, they're fuck buddies. It's what's called, Katie. It's a term.
Half dating?
Yeah, they're fuck buddies.
So
so you're just texting on your phone there? Are you checking Facebook?
No, we're texting...
Is she sending pictures of her? Look what we did.
No, wow. Well, recently he took her to meet his family, and apparently, unbeknownst to her, they've been dating for a year.
So she thought they were friends with benefits, and in reality,
he's
some sad little man who thought
they
were dating. They
had a huge argument because she said, why aren't we dating? Why are we just fuck buddies? And he said, because that's all I want.
Yeah, so he just... So anyway, they got into an argument apparently this past weekend about the fact that we haven't met him. And she was like, have you met him? I said, yeah, like way back when for 2 seconds. 4 years ago when she first met him, I met him.
When they first became the buddies?
No, that was later.
They weren't buddies fucking yet.
Brian's never taken me to meet his family because we know where this stands. We know what this is.
They're
There's
both
no illusion.
Where this relationship is.
And I like that because I don't get calls at midnight that are like...
or texts in the middle of the podcast.
Well, it's important.
We'll call you next time we have a spat. I'll be like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'll take it. Call me at work.
Brian won't dock. I feel lonely and alone. Tell me I'm pretty.
Oh, I can't lie.
Wow.
Can chuckle.
Wow.
I'll stop.
You'll stop.
Oh, good.
Because she's done.
Plus, it's time for your corner.
Oh, right. Well, this one, I want to really put it on you guys more so.
That's not how this works.
Well,
she'll do her one-minute thing, which is telling us to talk.
Right. So a couple of tournaments ago, I was beating somebody's ass, and they got the assassination run on me.
Oh, War Machine related?
War Machine related.
Just checking.
I thought this was still with the Texans.
And the beating them on the ass.
And Jim, who we mentioned earlier, came up to me and he said, you need to learn how to play when you're winning, not just when you're playing. And it's not something that I've figured out quite how to do yet. And so I want to know your guys' take. Once you get to that part where you are winning handily, but the game is only halfway over, how do you maintain that until you actually
win?
He
just drops some zen on you right there. He's like, you know, listen, yeah. Grasshopper, play when you...
Jim is all about the zen, let's be honest.
Lately he is. It's really creepy.
He's the owl from a Peggle.
Yeah.
But with Sir Hammerlock's facial hair.
He went from the crazy guy in the cave to like this like zen master.
Apparently that's what happens when you work a lot of nights.
Yeah. Lack of sleep will do that to you?
Apparently.
We do have notebooks of Jim Tech over there, too.
Man, don't open those things. If the internet learns Jim Tech, he's going to go on a killing
spree.
You mean
every time Keith opens his mouth?
Yeah, that's true. It's hilarious that Keith took so much Jim Tech with him out to Iowa. Like, every time Keith spills the beans. Like, at War Machine Weekend, Keith even ruined some Madison Tech, yeah. And DC caught it, and it didn't even work to his benefit.
Nope.
Because he piped Tough and Fearless on Alexia and the Risen, and he starts sacking Risen with death magic, and then starts making tough rolls. And DC's like, what are you doing? And he's like, they're tough. They can make tough checks when they take the damage. And DC's like, ooh, not for long, they can't.
And we got it and ran it, then it changed, so DC forgot.
Yeah.
So good job, DC.
Yay!
Because DC
learned
totally
to remember
our podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, you had a topic. I'm sorry.
I hope not.
Well, you guys were talking poorly about my bestie, and so I feel like I should give you all dirty looks.
No, you
were talking basically about how you would handle winning during the game itself.
That was the topic of Katie's Corner, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how do you, when you get to the middle of the game and you're clearly winning, how do you make sure that they don't get the assassination attempt?
So this is for Nathan, Brian, and Andy.
Hey, I have occasionally won games, goddammit.
But you're not handily ahead. You do win games.
That's not true. When Rhett wins games two ways. We crush the ever-living fuck out of you, assassinate your caster and get lucky.
Well,
like,
and
those
so
are the only two options with Rhett.
You're more topical, actually. Like, joking aside, you're more topical as the anti-point to this. As the, you know, if... For example, if I am annihilating you,
which happens a lot,
and then I just leave a caster a quarter of an inch too close, and you get a Raven Snipe Beat, go and win.
Yeah,
you know. And so, the question at hand is, you know, when I don't know how much is how and how much is when, but realizing you're ahead, you need to downplay your risks. Like, there's a point where it's like, all I need to do is not die with my caster, and I will win this game.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing Gatsby 2, it's when you deploy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
actually, you put Gatsby 2 on the table, and you're at that point.
Well, there are
joking aside, you kind of are, because
not even on the table.
He's so
it's when you actually choose the list.
Oh, yeah, when
you
buy
out of your when you write down the list, you just don't choose the other list.
But I think seriously with that, when you have a matchup and you guys play list chicken, when you sit down, usually one of the two players has an advantage starting out. So
yes.
It's up to that player to lose that advantage or the other person to take it from them. When you play Gatsby, you start with the advantage most times.
Because he's so survivable.
So you have to make the mistake to lose it. But we're way off topic. But
yeah.
I mean,
even with the topic, there's a different point in time. Because what it really is it's all odds. At any given point in the game, you can be like, I am 85% chance that I'm going to win this game if it continues. Or I am 15% that I'm going to win this game if it continues. And whatever that number is, the bigger that number gets, the lower your risk that you do with your caster needs to be.
Yep.
If you're 100% going to win this game, like, the only way you can possibly lose this game, literally the only way you can lose it, if your caster dies, you need to make sure that there's a 0% chance. You do the math on all the threat ranges, and you make a 0% chance that your caster can get killed.
Right.
If there's an 80% chance you're going to win, maybe you need to give a 20% chance your caster dies. Because, you know, it's not that easy as adding it up to 100, but there's a sliding scale. Because the flip side's true. If there's a 1% chance that I'm going to win this game at its current rate, I need to get really goddamn risky.
Yep. Because one of the ways, honestly, you can win a lot of games, and it's not – I'm not recommending this as a strategy. But if you're in – if just your shit's getting shoved in and stuff's going wrong, full camp your caster, run straight at them. Because they will spend their turn. Most players – now, honestly, good players won't necessarily fall for it. But most mid-level players, they see a caster that's like 4 inches away from their whole army, and their whole army attacks that guy. And if you've got a good camp and you're an actually survivable caster, like, it's a terrible idea, don't get me wrong, but when your shit's getting shoved in, that, if that's what you've got, that's what you've got.
I currently have a list that's built around that strategy.
That's true.
It's my caster is defense 13, armor 26, no knockdown. And yeah. I just run straight forward.
That is true. But yeah, like, but the opposite is also true. The distance is the easiest way to not get killed. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'm just playing Rhett and I'm on the other side of this equation just getting my shit shoved in. And I say, they finish their turn, and I look at where their caster is, and I look at my army, and I look at their caster, and I have, like, eight models that aren't dead. And I go, okay, all eight of my models aim and shoot at your caster after I strip your focus. I win. Like,
it's when you're losing, knowing, there's always a point in the game where you're behind. You have to be able to identify, okay, I can't recover from this point on. This is probably my best opportunity to go for that caster kill. If it's only a 30%, I need to take it because next turn it might be a 5%.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to identify, okay, I am screwed. What can I do? And in Death Clock, that's where it's, if you have that 30, 40 minutes, I go, you know, you guys are joking with me before, but I'm like, I told that kid, you know, you, this is your moment.
Yeah.
You got to take it because any point past this, you're going to 0% from this moment on.
Right. Yep.
And I when I'm ahead in a game, it's frustrating because A, at some point you got to kind of take the throat off a little bit. Well, sometimes if you get too far ahead, your opponent gets all like kind of like a whiny little bitch sometimes because they're losing or they're just frustrated and you're like, it's like part of you kind of wants to let off so they have some fun, but at the same time, if you let off too much, then they get ahead and you just throw the game away just because they were like all ornery. So that's hard to deal with. Plus, if it's time turns and you get up by a few control points, you can really kind of go relaxed because you're up by a few control points. If it's not kill box, my caster is going to jaunt away. But you can't run all the way away because your opponent suddenly rolls all box cars everywhere, you need your caster. He's on the border edge because you were being too cautious. Now you're actually screwed because you can't bring him back. Yep. So it's all about the distance, all about...
Well, with Hordes, it's a little bit different because I can't run my caster far that... I can't run him that far away because he has to stay within control.
You don't need beasts.
Well, that's the thing. Is joking aside, depending on how well you're winning, maybe you don't need your beasts. Like, if you're winning that much, maybe, you know, your infantry can just hold them at bay, or maybe, you know, your beasts don't even need the fury. Like there is a point where your warlock, like...
Maybe abandon one beast.
Maybe abandon a beast. Or it isn't even a rule that says your beasts always have to be in your control area.
Yeah.
Like, depending on the situation, it might be worth it to just throw a warp wolf out there out of control area to tie some stuff up and get in the way and get some more scenario points or whatever. I mean, you don't have to keep your warlock within 14 inches of the front line just because he's Fury 7.
And your warlock can always charge back the next turn if he has to. If shit gets real and you need to get into control area, charging one of your own models is 100% legal.
Yeah. Well, except it's hard to charge backwards because you have to see before you charge.
Well, my point is, obviously, you're not going to turn your back on the battle when you run away. Right. You're going to...
No, yeah, I didn't mean it that way. I meant, like, you can't move up and, like, leave one guy behind you. You know, you'd have to be, like,
yeah, that doesn't work. But my point is, coming back into the battle, you can charge back into it.
Yeah. It basically, like, specific aside, it just boils down to the risk-reward. Yeah. And if you're already winning the game, there's no reward to going riskier because there's no bigger reward than winning. So if you've got it locked down, if you've got the odds on your side, don't take the risk. Don't take any risk. Don't take the being within 20 inches of a speed 6 range 14, a single gun, you know, because maybe they roll those box cards and kill you to the point.
I've run into that same thing. I've been in that winning position where all I have to do is just survive and then just leave something wide open, and next thing I know, my caster's dead.
And I'm like... Brian just reminded me of a great example from our past, which is that he was tabling the living crap out of me with Morgul against P. Madrak. Like, I had nothing left. I think I had, like, a stone scribe and Madrak himself, and Brian had his whole army. And Morgul was just close enough that I got to walk up, boost to throw with my axe, roll the crit, and then roll, like, 6-6-5 for damage, and just one-shot Morgul. I needed, like, a 15 to hit, and I needed it to be a crit so he'd have no transfers, and I needed to roll, like, 16 total damage.
In the finals that damn event.
It was, it was the championship, it was the championship game. But the thing is, there's, like, a 1%, if that, like, maybe if there's that. A 1 in 200%.
You figure there's, like, a...
There's a 1 in 1,000 chance that happens, but... He was winning. He didn't need to give me the 1 in 1,000 chance. Morgul could have been back in his deployment zone, and he would have won that game.
I Unless walked it was my box. Shield Guard model out of Morgul's range just for no reason. I'm like, my brute's going to go walk up there and smack this random guy for no reason.
He wanted to smack a guy.
Yeah. I lost. And actually, one other guy talked about
in all of his games, he's like, I play smart. I only give my opponents like a 3% chance to kill me. But it's like, turns out every 10 games, I still lose like 3 games.
Yeah.
It's like, who knew that that actually ends up? I lost a game at Adepticon. I made it to Adepticon, the Masters round. And I lost my first game because I was tabling a Scorn player. And I gave him one turn, one model on my caster just once. And my caster died. I gave him one model for the ability to kill me. And he just got lucky. And that was, you know,
which can happen.
Yep.
Tell me it wasn't a bronze back, because if so, you really should.
No, 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 it wasn't. It was a beast. No.
It's just, there's a point where you stop. There's a point where you're already winning, so you need to change modes from I need to figure out how to win this game to I need to figure out how I could lose, and I need to have that not happen.
So outside of distance, which I think we can all agree is the best way to do that, what are other good ways to do it?
Yeah, because the distance one, you also need to be at like 80% chance of winning, as opposed to like I'm at 65% chance of winning.
Distance is the biggest thing.
Spending focus.
Next thing, don't spend focus unless you need to spend it. Camp on more. Keep 3 or 4 transfers if you can. What's left of your opponent? What's really okay? You're ahead in the game. Your opponent's. You're tailing, but what's the one model that could still be a problem? Let's kill that model next, even if it's, you know, I'm ahead, and let's just eliminate the biggest threat and work your way. I mean, threat assessment you do all game, but especially when you're ahead, you don't stop with a threat assessment just because you're ahead. Always find out is there one model, if I'm playing Hordes, that does have the one thing that
Grievous Wounds,
you get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
And then I can just camp the rest of the day. I mean, just find out what that threat is. Just work your way down the threat list. So if something does get to you, by the time it gets to you, it won't matter because you've taken out whatever combo ability they have to screw you.
That's actually – the threat assessment's actually a really good point. Something that I still struggle with, and I think that is, in my opinion, one of the huge differences between a top-level player and I consider myself a mid-level player despite all the harassment I get on the podcast.
You're lower middle class.
I like to think upper middle class, but, you know, that's just me.
I know you like to think that.
But it's honestly and truly threat assessment because – Brian and I could be sitting at a table playing a game against Nathan, and I could think I'm tabling the crap out of Nathan. And I could say, all right, Brian, you come in, sit down at my table, and tell me whether I'm winning or not. And Brian looks at what Nathan has left and goes, oh, yeah, you're dead. You're toast. Because what I've killed is the chaff. Like, and I'm not saying I do this every game.
Right, right.
But I think that that's one of the big things that separates the truly great players from the good players, is figuring out what it is that's actually a problem for you. Yep. The simplest case is Terminus Deathjack List. You're playing Terminus Deathjack List. Hopefully, the only things that can kill Terminus on full camp are also the only things that can kill a Deathjack. So you throw the Deathjack up. Whatever kills your Deathjack, you go, oh, that's what I need to kill. And you kill that. And you hope they don't have another one. Even if you're a new player, like that's Terminus tech that a lot of people use. But for most other lists, it's a little more complicated than that. Trying to figure out, for my specific cast or list, what is the big threat here?
And you only learn that the more you play in tournaments. Correct. So too, the more you learn about your opponents, you'll be able to learn what you need to scalpel out.
Yeah. Also, with scenarios, there's little things like make sure every unit is less than half.
Yep.
You know, and stuff like that, because then they can't score.
Yep.
Units at below 50% can't score. You know, so I mean, there's things like that. Snipe out solos. Just kneecap them. You don't have to kill your opponent. You just have to cripple them. Because if you cripple them, they can't kill you, and that's the more important part. You know, you don't have to finish him.
Finish him.
Make
him suffer for the next 45 minutes. Don't put him on.
No,
suffer. That their tears fill your cup.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You have 43 minutes now. You can begin your crying.
Yeah.
I'm going to the bathroom. Tell me how it ends.
If I need to roll dice, they're all ones. I don't care. I'm going to the bathroom.
Right.
His one chance was to cast a Breath of Corruption at my cast, but have it drift off another model and hope it will get to me and then max, you know,
sure.
Max deviation.
He did do 3 damage to me, I think, or 7 on that turn.
3 or 7, one of those numbers that isn't 18.
Yeah. It was less than 16 by quite a bit.
Yes.
But yeah. Anything else?
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I guess the tricky part still is when you're at, you know, 65 or 75 or 70% chance that you're going to win. So you still need, you know, your army up there, but I, like you said,
at that point you just need to maintain,
right?
Continue to push the envelope, but not expose yourself to, you know, expose your biggest weakness, which would be like an unfocused caster or an unfuried caster.
Yeah,
you just want to play it safe.
In a Horde's mindset, I think that's probably when you go over fury a bit, so that you can camp more. And if one of you're winning a bit, and so if one of your beasts happens to take a frenzy check next turn by one or two fury, meh.
Even
and
if
so
they fail,
camp that extra one or two on your caster. It's way better to have your caster live than that one beast be active.
I have
I always keep fury. I don't know that I've ever. I'm sure it's happened, but I try not to have a caster that doesn't have any fury on it.
Not have any. What he's saying is that if you have a fury 7 caster and you have 5 total fury on your beasts, it's a common thing as a Hordes player to want, I need to have exactly 2 fury on my caster. Because that way next turn I have 7. Keep 4.
Yeah.
Keep 4. Worst thing that happens, absolute worst thing that happens is your caster doesn't get attacked. Hooray. And then, oh no, one of my beasts has to take a frenzy check.
Well, in situations like that, you just call upon the stones and then
right.
They take care of that extra fury for you.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. The worst case, and so it's comparing what's the worst of the two alternates. The worst of spending down to the 2 fury is that your caster dies to 3 attacks. The worst that happens to saving 4 fury is that one of your beasts takes a frenzy check. Which of those bad things is worse?
I have killed so many Hordes casters because of that. Or they're like, they're so far ahead, they don't camp as much, or they get overzealous and all their beast attacks, or they drain it off their cast, and then I just kill the caster.
Because you get bloodthirsty. You want to finish your opponent off. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not of a mean thing. You know, you want to just keep pushing and pushing and crushing and crushing.
And I know,
and there's a point where you can stop. Yeah. They're half dead. They're bleeding. Their knees are broken. You can stop hitting them.
And
you know, here's what it is. Now, I'll keep names out for people who aren't this far, but if you've poisoned the giant guy you're having a duel with, stop standing next to him and talking about how he raped your sister. Just walk away to the other side of the arena and let the poison do its job.
It's like in just having so much fury on your caster, though, too. It's like when I was in a tournament in Milwaukee, and I accidentally left all the fury on my, like, 5 fury on my caster, and I ran all my beasts up just because I forgot to finish his turn. And lo and behold, my opponent tried killing him that turn. And just because I had that fury on him, kept Doomshaper alive for the extra turn, which then I was able to pull him out and beat him then that turn. So, yeah, just having that extra fury on caster will definitely help you.
I love the bait opponents, too. Like, if I know they're going to overextend, I'll say, you know what, here's a free Deathjack. Go kill it, because people love killing Deathjack. I can kill Deathjacks all the time. And they go kill it, and then I just kill the caster. I'm like, good job, kill my Deathjack, and you expose your whole army to my killing your arm. And then, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that last week, where I was baiting my opponent with Doomshaper all game. That's basically what happened there. I baited him, and then he went after him with Gatorax. Good times.
All right.
Does that help?
Yes, I think that helps.
Well, all right then. Well, I guess there's nothing really much else but to do to move on to our recommendations.
Huzzah!
So, huzzah sounds like a good place to start.
Should probably motor through these pretty quick, though.
Yeah, we'll motor through them.
Yeah.
Stop making faces. Making faces at the laptop is not motoring, you son of a...
All right, I'm going to go.
Thank you. Your husband's incompetent.
So, I'm going to recommend House Bunny, and here's why.
I like it.
Wait, the
I
movie?
Approve.
Yes, the movie.
It's hilarious.
I'll go with it. I like Legally Blonde.
And here's the reason why. That's the first movie that I saw Emma Stone in, and I'm a huge fan of hers.
Sexually?
She does sexually.
I'd hit it.
From an actress
standpoint.
She was Anna Faris.
I would like Anna Faris, yes.
Do things. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Distraction. But yeah, I want to see The Great Gatsby, and one of the reasons is it's a hysterical book. But then also because Emma Stone's in it.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in The Great Gatsby. Then she told me Emma Stone's in it. I was like, I'm in.
Is Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that one?
Leonardo is, I know.
Oh, Leonardo? Eh, yeah. Whatever.
And,
who cares?
Emma Stone's. House Bunny's funny, though.
House Bunny is funny. I found that I own it if anyone wants to borrow it.
That's true.
The things I do Netflix. To Emma Stone are illegal in 40 states. I mean, checked.
Because he's going to move to one of the other 12.
Good math.
Wait. Let that one go.
Let it sink in. How many do we have?
52, apparently.
Yeah. One of the other 12.
He's including Puerto Rico and Guam.
All right.
Yes.
Next recommendation.
Damn it.
Jeremy, go.
I was going to recommend getting a map.
Yeah.
Because I'm so awesome at geography. I'm recommending geography. No. So I'm actually, humorously enough, since I'm bad at geography, I'm going to recommend a program called AAA, which is basically like...
Vassal.
Thank you. Vassal. That's what I was looking for. Vassal, but for board games. And there's like a bazillion board games you can play on there. I'm currently using it to play Axis and Allies with some friends.
I thought you meant, like, for your car. Like, if it breaks down, I was like, hey, you kids should get AAA for your car. It's responsible thing to do.
Even better with him trying to explain where he's at.
Yeah. I think I'm in Guam. That's a state, right? Who am I? My life is a lie.
God damn it, I hate you guys.
Speaking of Jeremy being terrible at geography, the other day he was playing Axis and Allies, and he's like, where's Africa?
That is not true. That is a bald-faced lie.
It was like some country that you should have known where it was at, and you like couldn't find it.
Okay, to be fair, we were playing the Cold War, and I couldn't find something like Yugoslavia. Like it was
a little country on the board.
It was not Slavia,
it's in Eastern Europe.
It was not a fucking continent.
It was like India or
something.
No,
it was not India.
Yes, it was. It was something that I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Where's Africa?
I hate you so much. It was not a goddamn continent. It was one of those little crappy European countries. And in that game, whatever the hell it's called, Twilight something.
Struggle.
Twilight Struggle. There's a shit ton of little tiny European countries.
In real life, there's a shit ton of little tiny European countries.
But in that
countries.
Game, there's a bunch that matter. And so trying to find it, especially when the game pieces are on top of half of the country names, is difficult.
India isn't in Europe.
It wasn't India, goddamn it.
India's down in southeastern Asia.
It was Lebanon, I think. It was actually Lebanon.
Specifically
which turns out
to
be the Middle East.
Yeah, Lebanon's not even in Europe, you son of a bitch!
Well, that's the problem, because I was looking around Europe for Lebanon. So it was still bad.
Jesus Christ! You just keep on digging. You just don't stop.
Anyway, AAA is a cool program.
So anyway, AAA is a cool program.
Yeah, if your car breaks down, they'll come get you. Everything's wonderful.
Your face. So,
even if you're in Lebanon.
The newest version of Axis and Allies, which is a gigantic fucking game. We're going to try to play it next Saturday, and we're like planning
this
to play
Saturday.
It this Saturday, whatever. For like 14 hours or something ridiculous to play one game. Whereas you can play with this program via email with some friends and play it over the course of a few weeks and it doesn't suck away your entire life for a day. So I highly recommend it. Very awesome. That's my recommendation.
Great.
I hate you all.
I was going to make brownies for that date, though.
You were.
Brownies are delicious.
Yeah. Brownies are delicious.
Moving on.
So is Emma Stone.
Are you going to claim you don't have a right? We're skipping Andy, apparently.
We're going
he is non-verbal.
Circle. He's breaking the
he
circle.
He wants to go last. I think
he has this amazing recommendation that's going to blow all of our minds away.
Like three of the last five episodes, I've made his recommendation for him. I'm like, don't you like Blood Bowl? Oh yeah, I love Blood Bowl.
My recommendation is a book series by Steven Erikson, The Malazan Book of the Fallen,
Chain of Dogs.
It's a 10-book series. It's complete. It's out. And so people who read books are always happy to hear, oh, the book series is done. It's not going to have to wait 20 years for the final book. It's a high fantasy series, but there's like 1,000 characters or so. So it's in one of those kind of books. There's shenanigans going on in the background here.
Of the books? No, go on.
It's a little bit like Glenn Cook, where a lot of the characters are just your standard soldiers in a military, which is kind of a nice little point of view. And
I will say that one of these subplots in one of the books is my favorite story in any book ever. Like, oh my God, The Chain of Dogs is amazing.
Yeah. The books, I mean, there are 10 books. They take place over like 8 continents. I mean, it's a ridiculously high scale world. It's as gritty and dark as, like, in a lot of ways, George Martin. I told Jim I prefer the Malazan books over Martin, and he almost punched me. But I also appreciate books that are complete and authors who know how to write. This guy wrote like a 1,000 page book in one year for 10 years. So, you know, it's pretty nice to actually have it done. He's very good. He has good character depth, very good action. It's a fun book series. I could talk about it for days, but we're trying to hurry this up here. But I just say Malazan, Book of the Fallen. I highly recommend checking them out.
It's nice seeing at least a book series actually completed as compared to like Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time,
and
the last book is out.
I'm reading it right now.
It took 20 years,
but
it's out.
He did die,
he
but that's
died.
Not his fault.
He didn't write it.
He did.
It's all transcribed from other people from his like, extra notes.
He had basically notation to the last three books before he died.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the hospital for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, same thing. I mean, I fully expect George Martin to die and someone else finish his books. I mean, I just expect that to happen.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, most of these authors aren't real thin, healthy people.
Yeah, George Martin's like, I love pizza and traveling and eating like meat constantly. I don't feel well.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's not when you're like 65 years old and should be like writing.
No,
your
the problem
book.
With Martin is like, I like writing books in that series about space people that nobody cares about. And Godzilla just roared out of your phone. which is a good segue. I am going to make a quick recommendation. Willett Pot Still Reserve Bourbon. It's delicious. I've never been a fan of brown liquors very much. I mean, I'll drink them because drinking's whatever. But I was over at the Shades' place once, they had some of it. And I drank a tumbler full of it. And then I drank another tumbler full of it. And then somebody had like a sip out of a tumbler and was like, I don't like this as much. So I drank the rest of their tumbler. And it was delicious, and I felt very happy.
Is this a possible future ingredient for a future a Crippled System drunk cast?
My plan is like at like War Machine Weekend and stuff like that, I plan to never not have a bottle of that in my hand. Like, oh, so if
you... Will you be drinking out of it or just holding it, though?
I'll make out with it. I'll whisper sweet nothings to it. Everything.
I think we should have a drunk cast.
Backing up for a minute, I'm curious what the Eighth Continent is.
It's actually only seven.
It's times. In a fantasy world. It doesn't take place on Earth.
Atlantis.
Oh, I thought he was saying that it took place on Earth.
No.
It's not on Earth.
The Eighth Continent is Lebanon. Did you really like Google continents to see?
Like, is there really
you had to check.
I've been struggling with geography tonight, so I was trying to make sure I wasn't missing something. I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's only seven.
God.
Fantasy world.
It's called Atlantis.
52 states on the... Well, the other two states are on the Eighth Continent.
Lebanon has 52 states, and it's on the continent of Jesus Christ, Jeremy.
It's a state of Canada and Mexico.
I'm like, why is Jeremy on his phone as a continent? How many are there? Google's like, seriously?
He's on Ask Jeeves, and they're like, this website doesn't still exist. What's wrong with you? And he's like, Jeeves, I need help.
Why did I marry you?
Nobody knows. But no, Willett Pot Still Reserve Bourbon. It's delicious. Drink it neat.
You know, if you drink that, people won't wonder about your geography skills.
That's true.
Yeah. You're acceptable to have all geography errors if you're on the drunk cast.
Yes. We need to do a drunk one, and we need to do a live one.
Yes.
I like the idea of doing a live one.
I think we
How
would work well.
How would a live one be different than what we do?
No, we'd have like we'd literally be broadcasting live, and we'd have Skype up on the laptop, and people could Skype it up,
I would do that.
Awesome, like live call-in
so
show.
All three of our fans could ask us questions.
All three of them.
So Jeff, Katie's mom, and
Black.
Yeah, it's Jeremy's mom.
Black listens because he corrected your pronunciation of his username.
Yeah, that's true. Because you guys all called him Blackie. Oh my
not
God.
All of us. He said it. I said, I don't think it's Blackie.
It's definitely
I said
not
it
was, Blackie.
I said it's Blacois. It's French.
That.
He's Blacois.
I'm very mad at you can't play it right now.
Oh my God. So, Andy, do you have a recommendation?
My recommendation, I'll start it off and then you'll finish it, is I will recommend Godzilla.
Mothra and King Ghidorah, giant monsters, all out attack.
Greatest movie in the entire world.
It is so
better
wonderful.
Than House Bunny?
Yes. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters, all out attack.
Borrow to them before they leave.
All these movies I'm already
somebody stole
to watch.
My copy. I loaned it to Adam the Pegasus.
Say it. Why do you always say it like
to
that?
To make me mad.
Actually,
says,
it makes him
it
and my friend Jake mad. I asked to specifically say it that way because Jake freaks out. He starts twitching. He twitches more than you. I say borrow it to somebody.
Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters, all out attack.
It is an amazing movie. I took it on a recommendation from Nate to see it, and oh my God, it is easily the best Godzilla movie you'll ever watch.
Oh, it's just raw badass.
Or even just in that general genre. It's
Doesn't
the
it
best
have the whole
movie.
Like. My mouth is moving a lot, and then I say, like, three words.
No, well, the Millennium Edition doesn't have that as bad. They've gotten a lot better at dubbing, because this is...
Okay.
Godzilla 2000 came out, not actually in 2000, but Godzilla 2000 came out, and that started, like... They reset the Godzilla mythos.
Okay.
And so the Millennium Edition is way more just hardcore.
Okay.
Like, the Godzilla and Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monster, solid attack, like, his eyes are just pure white. Like, he has just solid pupilless eyes, like, just to make him be this inhuman predatory monster. And he just goes around and kills everything ever. Like, there's no plot
there's no
except
stopping.
For him just... there's no stopping. There's no, like, little kids singing to him to stop and reach to his heart. He's just... He literally nukes a grade school. Like, it's just Godzilla killing everything.
All
and
right.
It's beautiful.
It is great. It is great.
And now I worry a little bit about my friends.
No, it's awesome.
No.
On that note, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie
was
very entertaining.
Was actually really good.
Yes, oh yeah, the Last Stand.
Last Stand, we laughed our asses. I don't know if it's supposed to be a comedy.
I think it's supposed to be
I think it's supposed to be. We laughed our asses off.
It's you know, it's an action comedy. Kind of like True Lies is an action comedy.
Yes.
And True Lies is probably Schwarzenegger's best movie.
I wouldn't say it's up there with
as It's not as good as True Lies.
But it's that same style.
But it is very good. It is very good. It was very enjoyable.
Yep. Yeah, definitely worth the praise that I got on Rotten Tomatoes so far.
Go get yourself some Willet Pot Still Reserve Bourbon, a copy of Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All at Attack.
With House Bunny.
We'll do a double feature.
Double feature.
Yeah, and then just curl up with an Erickson book and then get a flat tire repaired with AAA. So everybody go do that and have yourself a wonderful time. Thanks for listening. I'm Nathan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Andy.
Brian.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.